Ever been stuck on a plane with a screaming two-year-old? Ever wonder what the parent was thinking?
And my five older kids are in the two rows ahead of us, and I'm holding Zane in my lap, and right across the aisle is a woman who cannot put up with a flight from Washington, D.C. out to Colorado for 2.5, 3 hours with a screaming two-year-old, but he was screaming. And she's just fidgeting in her chair and folding her arms and looking at me sternly, and I just thought, lady, I have five good kids in front of me. This one's melting down. It's been a tough time. Just leave me alone. I'm not a bad dad. I mean, I'm doing okay here. They're not great kids. No, actually, they are great kids. They're not perfect kids, but they're pretty good. I think in that moment I learned, just breathe a bit. I'm not parenting for you. I'm parenting for my kid.
That was John Fuller, co-host and vice president of audio and new media at Focus on the Family. He's joining Randy today, and they'll be talking about intentional fathers. Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a counselor, coach, husband, father, and grandfather, and your advocate for the family. Now, with John Fuller, here's Randy.
Hey, thanks, Kurt, and welcome to today's program. We have a real treat in store for you today as we step into this Father's Day weekend. And I chuckle because it seems like Father's Day weekends are never quite as passionate as Mother's Day weekends. But let's remember good old Dad on this weekend. If you're fortunate enough to have Dad still around, my Dad's already in heaven. But let's remember Dad and remember him by staying in touch and letting him know you care for him, okay? Speaking of dads, today we're going to talk about first-time dads. My wife Donna and I were in Colorado Springs a while back to be interviewed at Focus on the Family by Jim Daly, Julie Slattery, and John Fuller for a couple of their broadcasts on Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing, two of my books. And while I was there, I turned the tables and had a chance to interview them. And when I talked to John, as a dad of six children and the author of the book First Time Dad, I asked some tough questions about what does it mean to be a dad, how to be a good, not only first-time dad, but just a good dad. He shares some fun stories and good help for you today on intentional living. I think you'll enjoy. And in fact, after the program, I asked John if I could bring a book back, and he autographed one I brought back and gave to our first-time dad around here. Our youngest son, Derek, and his wife, Aria, just delivered our first grandson to us. Tobias Edward, little Toby, is now part of the world and part of the Carlson family. And I'll tell you, nothing quite so special as grandchildren. It's more fun than parenting, by the way. But I think today's conversation with John, you'll find to be very helpful and practical to you. I'd love to hear your comments as first-time dads, what you've learned as dads, or tributes to dad. You can share those with us at Facebook/Intentional Living. All right, you ready to go? Let's get started with my interview with John Fuller. Well, John, thank you for joining me here on Intentional Living.
Well, I'm so glad to be with you here today, Randy.
I got you on the other side of this mic now. You're not going to interview me. I get to interview you.
I know, and I'm looking forward to this. It'll be fun.
You know, a book called First Time Dad. Now, you've been a dad six times. You got six kids.
We do. And, you know, I remember going back, well, it's been 23 years now, to when our first was born. And, you know, all of those expectations and anticipations and, man, I thought I knew what it was all about, but I did not know what I didn't know. And the learning process after he entered the world and entered our home was fairly difficult at times. Yeah. So I've learned a lot, and I've tried to capture some of that in the book.
Well, what changed in expectations between number one and number six?
Oh, you know, in some respects, and there's a 15-year gap there, Randy. So I've last year I had a college senior and a first grader. All right. And I think what I've learned is a little more grace and a lot more patience, and to have expectations for kids to be kids a little longer than with a firstborn. I mean, you know, firstborns get all of our mistakes and we're all uptight about all these things. And I have loosened up tremendously. And I've told people more than once that it's sort of a gift from God. I sort of feel like I can do this right. Yeah. In a way that I wish I could have done it the first time.
When you look at firstborns, I mean, we experiment with them. They get all the pressure, everything we place on them. I can remember when we brought home our eldest son, Evan. Pacifiers, an example. We had like six pacifiers. We had backups.
Oh, yeah, and you sterilize them.
We sterilize them. We'd cover them. We keep them, you know. Mm-hmm. And by the time DJ came along, our baby, we were so tired we could only come up with the name DJ. And we only had one pacifier left out of the six.
Yeah, and you would clean it with... You'd pop it in your mouth.
Well,
to clean
no, actually,
right?
We just wipe it off. Yeah, okay. Wipe it off on our shirt.
Yeah, that was the first. I knew I had turned a corner when we would take the binky and I'd just say, nobody's looking. I'd suck on it real quick just for a second and say, there now, kid,
exactly.
It's clean. Go for it.
But yeah. The babies
we do loosen up, don't we?
The babies are better off for that. I'm the baby of the family.
Are you?
The youngest of three boys. We had 5 years apart. Between us, but still, man, my mom used to say, listen, we parented you so differently than we did your oldest brother, who was Morris Warner Carlson the second, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And I was just Randy. It wasn't Randall, wasn't Randolph. It was just Randy. I mean, that's all they could come up with.
Well, you know, my kids actually, I have three girls, 17, 15, and 12, and the two older ones are often telling us, you wouldn't let us do that, or you've really loosened up, or whatever. And a lot of times, I'll just look at them and say, yeah. Right?
That's the way the
world
works.
She's the fifth born. Of course we're going to be looser with her than we were with you. And it's just a different season. I really feel a lot more relaxed and a lot better about parenting now than I did back then.
Is that why you wrote a book called First Time Dad? Because you kind of, your heart goes out to these guys who are just getting started?
Well, it does. And there's a fair bit of the book, Randy, devoted to not just what being a dad is about, but what being a husband is.
Right.
Because I see a lot of guys early on in their parenting experience, and they're not quite managing as well as they could with regard to their spouse. And so I think it's important for us as dads to recognize that mom is a first-time mom. You know, if you're expecting or you have a relatively newborn in the home or even just a toddler, she's going through all the insecurities that you are. She's adapting to all the changes that you are in her own way and in her own world and with her own sets of pressures. And then you have the whole marriage relationship. And you know, I could have done that stuff better. I don't have big regrets, but looking back, I could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to help guys understand there are things that you probably don't have to worry about, but get your thinking and your expectations right early on, and it'll go a whole lot better.
Did you feel well equipped from how you were raised to have some of the tools you needed when you started this thing of fathering?
I did. I'm a firstborn. I have younger siblings, and I watched my parents raise other kids, and I picked up some good stuff from my parents. I have a good mom and a good dad, and they taught us well, and they raised us well. And so going into it, I was pretty confident. I'm a firstborn. I'm responsible. I do the right thing. I read books. I hung around people with kids. I listened to radio programs.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
and so I kind of, I did feel rather well equipped. But then along comes this baby, and Dakota's born, and his cry, what does that cry mean?
Yeah.
And we're both sleep deprived. And I don't really know what I'm supposed to do when. And by the way, I'm kind of on the outside here because mom has taken over, you know, and can she trust me to take care of this kid? And all of these realities that I had to deal with were a little unsettling. I mean, it felt a little overwhelming. And my observation, Randy, and you could validate this perhaps, is that oftentimes new dads at the workplace have all these responsibilities. And, you know, they're trying to make it to the next step in the job world. And so all these pressures at work, and they come home, and they're not necessarily well-equipped to deal with the stresses and pressures and the, you know, the things they can't do well because they've never done them that are part of parenting. It could be a powder keg for some guys.
If you could rewind and go back with your first one,
mm-hmm.
Dakota?
Yeah.
Firstborn. What would you do differently?
Well, let me say that I would do a lot of the same things over again. I really would. I mean, I drank in the joy of a newborn. And I loved having a little guy tag along with me to the hardware store. And I loved reading to him at night and, you know, playing cowboys and Indians and doing those things. I think one of the things I would do is adjust my expectations of what a little boy can do or not do when parented. In other words, I would tell him something and I thought he was a little adult and he would just get it.
Yeah.
So why am I back here telling you for the fifth time not to do that? Well, I recognize now, because we have three boys, that a boy can't answer that question. Boys don't say, you know, what were you thinking?
Yes.
That's a stupid question to ask a young boy.
I wasn't thinking.
That's a stupid question to ask any boy. I don't know. I was just doing it.
Yeah.
And so I think I would lower my expectations for behavior. I think I pushed, as we do with firstborns, pushed to have a certain level of behavior because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And I think I enjoy now, you know, 22 decades into parenting, I enjoy now the age that my kids are at for the age it is, not for the age I want it to be.
Well, we're back in our Intentional Living studio live. We'll continue the interview with John Fuller here in just a couple of minutes. We've got a quick break first, and when I do come back, I'm going to ask John a tough question. What do you do when you have six kids, in his case, or any dad that has many children, more than one, and you find yourself maybe getting along with one a little better than another, more easily connecting with one child than another? Favoritism, how do you deal with that? Also, some of our staff are going to stop by and share the stories of their father and how their dads were intentional in their lives. So don't go away.
When I was probably 7 or 8, I had one uncle who had enough money to have a television. They were waiting for wrestling, but before that was The Voice of Firestone. And I loved classical music at 7 or 8 years of age. And I sat up there and watched it, and they were snickering and laughing in the background. And finally, my dad got up from among his four brothers who were there and came down and sat down beside me, and he told him, he said, I like this too. Made a world of difference.
My dad was a pastor. He's retired now, but he was a pastor. And on Saturday evenings, he would be preparing, making final review and preparation for the Lord's Day. And I used to just walk up to him and sit in his lap and say, put your books down, Dad, it's loving time. And he would do that.
I was raised on a base in Hawaii, and my dad was always going off to Japan and Korea and the Philippines to fight, and he'd always tell me, he goes, okay, you're the little man of the house now, Billy. You take care of everybody while I'm gone, and I'll be back. I remember him, you know, packing his duffel bags and putting on his fatigues and his big black boots and heading out at night and always kissing us goodbye and always loving us and telling us God bless you. But my daddy always came home to us. He always took us to church, and you know, because we always thank God Dad made it back home okay.
Those are some rather amazing father memories. And coming up, you'll hear more from our Intentional Living staff. And John Fuller will be answering Dr. Randy's tough question. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Find great resources on our highlights page at our website. Go to theintentionallife.com and click on the highlights button next to Randy's picture. That's theintentionallife.com. We've got more for intentional fathers, and we'll be right back.
I'm just saying, things seem clearer than ever. I feel like I'm back on track.
Just from watching a DVD?
Not just watching, but doing things it talked about. Being intentional about how I live, being the leader of my house the way God wants, putting first things first.
Okay. I'll watch the video. If it can change you like it has.
Hey!
Dr. Randy Carlson shares how you can rise to face the challenges of life in order to be truly successful in the Intentional Man DVD. Available now at theintentionallife.com.
Welcome back to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Christ. Hey, why not tell us how you're being intentional in Christ? Call our toll-free comment line anytime at 1-888-888-1717 and press number 2. Now, for more Intentional Fathers, here's Randy and John.
Hey, thanks, Kurt, and welcome back to Intentional Living, entering Father's Day weekend, having fun with sharing with you an interview that I had with John Fuller, who's the vice president and the co-host on Focus on the Family and a father of six. And I chuckle because father of six writing a book on first-time dads, a lot of credibility there. And we're going to get back to that interview. I'm going to ask him a tough question. What do you do when you have, you know, you have your whole family, have all your kids, but you find yourself sort of gravitating because of interests or whatever toward one or two of your children, and the other one maybe left out a little bit. Maybe it's not as easy to connect with all of your children. What do you do as a dad? You know, we can't, quote, treat everybody exactly the same or equally because every child is different, but how at the same time we don't show favoritism. We'll get to that. But first, I want to take a moment, and in light of Father's Day weekend, to have some of our staff stop by and share some thoughts with you about how their fathers were intentional in their lives and how Dad made a difference to them. Take a listen.
My daddy believed in teachable moments. I remember one time at the breakfast table, there was a big bowl of fruit. We had grapefruit and oranges and lemons and limes. So he took it all out and arranged the solar system and explained to us the relative sizes and distances between the planets. It was just the coolest thing I've ever seen.
I remember sitting on my dad's lap as a child. He had a big can of peanuts on the stand next to his reclining chair, and I was curled up in his lap, and we'd be eating peanuts watching wrestling.
One of my favorite memories about my dad were the father-daughter dances that we had in high school and how he just loved to escort me and for me to be his special date for that night. And then all the times we went on Sunday drives, he always took the family out on Sunday for a drive someplace that was beautiful.
When I was a little girl, about 8 or 9 or maybe even younger, my mom, after a bath, she'd have me stand beside her and she'd sit on a chair and she'd comb my hair rather mercilessly as I had lots of knots and tangles. And I'd end up in tears, but I'd always be able to go and sit in my dad's lap and he'd give me comfort, and those were precious times to be able to do that.
Hey, thanks, team, for sharing the stories of how your dad's impacted your life. It reminds me of the impact of my dad on my life, his encouragement, his sacrifice, and how he set aside worldly things, worldly possessions and what have you, to serve Christ. We catch those things as kids, don't we? Today, going into Father's Day, thinking about dads, I had the chance to talk to John Fuller, who's the vice president of Focus on the Family and the author of First Time Dad. And I brought the conversation back to share with you. Let's get back to it. This is a tough question. Parenting multiple children. I mean, we're talking about first-time dads, but sometimes there's a second-time dad and a third, and all of a sudden you have six children.
Six in my case, yeah.
And they're all different. They have different personalities. They view life differently. You can relate to each of them differently. And when I talk to parents privately, they often will admit, you know, it's easier to like one child more than another. Not that I don't love them all. I love them all. I care for them all. I die for any of them. I want them all to do great. But I connect with one more easily than I do with another. And sometimes parents feel guilty about that. What do you tell dads about maybe you can't connect with your daughter as easily as you do a son, or you've got one son that's more athletic and you're athletic and your other son is musical and academic and you're not connecting. And life isn't fair. I mean, every child's different. How does a dad love all of his kids, even though they may not connect with all of them equally?
Yeah, I think a couple of things come to mind. And it is a good question, Randy, because it's easy to say, well, here's the answer. You know, just do this. But there, it's not. It's work. And part of the work is to be a student of your child and their interests.
Right.
For instance, my oldest, I projected that athletic prowess that I didn't have, frankly, and he just didn't go there. He was not a bad athlete, but he wasn't interested. And it was kind of a dying to dreams to recognize that, but to say, you know, you're really good at computers and you're really good at drawing houses and doing architectural kind of work. And so I looked for ways to engage him in that part of the world. We went to Chicago one time and we did the Frank Lloyd Wright walking tour of architect heaven, if you will, all these different houses. So I tried to, I think it's important for us as dads to recognize where our kids are at and meet them there. And that can be really difficult, particularly if you have daughters and they want to play dolls. but you're going to have to do that.
Yeah.
Because it's not about me being Mr. Macho. It's about, what is my kid? This is the second part of that is, how does my kid read love? They all read it time.
Right.
But beyond that, how does my kid read it? And my girls are different than my boys. And I've had to learn to say, well, for them, or for this one, it's this. For that one, it's, you know, it's a positive word. For this one, it's a rub on the arm and a stroke the hair as I walk by. It's a touch. You know, for that one, it's a let's do this together. So there are kind of two components. One, understand the natural bent of your child and their interests, and go there with them, even if it doesn't feel comfortable for you. They will appreciate it. The other is to recognize how they read that love and to try and meet them at that level too.
Well, you've been in a high-profile work. I mean, you're well-known. Focus on the family vice president. I mean, you must have perfect kids.
Oh, absolutely.
What kind of pressure has that been to you as a dad, but also to your children?
Yeah, I thank the Lord that I was kind of down the road of parenting before I stepped into what might be called the limelight. And so to answer the second part of the question, I don't think my kids have ever felt this pressure to be anything more than the Fuller kids. I mean, our church, we've stayed in the same church. We've stayed in the same house. We have the same friends that we have had for many, many years. So those parts of life haven't changed. For me, I think I have felt a little expectation from people, but I'm comfortable enough in knowing that we all mess up.
Yeah.
And, you know, at Focus, we are about telling people what the ideal is. But we're also about saying, and we all fail at that, and there's freedom there, there's grace. So I have blown it many, many times. Let me tell you that our youngest has some special needs. And when he was two, and this is a memory that will forever be with me, Grandy. When he was two, we took an East Coast trip for 3 weeks. We did not know at the time that he has autism. Hmm. And that change is really hard. And right. He wasn't communicating at the time at all, really. So it was a really stressful trip. Looking back on it, we know it was even more stressful than we could ever realize or understand. But 3 weeks of traveling, of on the road, of new places, of sensory overload, and of this kid just being worn out. We get on the plane, and my five older kids are in the two rows ahead of us. And I'm holding Zane in my lap. And right across the aisle is a woman who cannot put up with a flight from Washington, D.C. out to Colorado for 2.5-3 hours with a screaming two-year-old. But he was screaming.
Hmm.
And she's just, you know, she's just fidgeting in her chair and folding her arms and looking at me sternly. And I just thought, lady, I have five good kids in front of me. This one's melting down. It's been a tough time. Just leave me alone. I'm not a bad dad. I mean, I'm doing okay here. They're not great kids. Well, actually, they are great kids. They're not perfect kids, but they're pretty good. I think in that moment, I learned, just breathe a bit. I'm not parenting for you. I'm parenting for my kid. And I'm trying to honor the Lord as I parent that child. So as a dad, it's important for me to get my marching orders from God. I can't control my child's behavior at all times, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We can't do that. It's not a reflection of my parenting. My kid melted down in retrospect because of some pretty serious needs he had. So I've learned to kind of loosen up, and I joke with people that I have a ministry to help other parents feel good about their parenting.
There you go. That's taking a breath and breathing. We're back in our studios live here on Intentional Living, and there's more to my discussion with John Fuller, but we'll hold that for a later date. Sometime this summer, we'll share a little more of my interview with John. And by the way, John is the vice president of Focus on the Family, the co-host of Focus on the Family, and the author of First Time Dad, a resource that'll be helpful for you. If you're a first-time dad or a long-time dad or a grandfather, this is a weekend. Not only, hopefully, somebody will come around and say, good job, but it's also a time for us to reflect on our job, our responsibility, our opportunity as grandfathers, as fathers, stepfathers, to build into the lives of the children that are in our lives. As men, to realize that we can help build character into their lives, to share Christ with them, to show them what it means to be intentional as a man, so our children and our grandchildren can grow up and become intentional in their life as well. We make a difference. And so, dads, let's continue to remember that it's not just about one day a year that we get a pat on the back, but it's also 365 days a year that we get to be intentional in our relationship with our kids and grandkids.
I heard a story a couple weeks ago of a guy who was a jokester, and when he drove into the Burger King, he thought he'd have fun with a little 18-year-old girl working in the, you know, at the window there. And so as he drove up to the window, he put on his black glasses and brought out a senile cane. And he was driving and rolled down his window, and he asked this young lady if she had a Braille menu. So she hands him the Braille menu. And so he thought he'd have a little more fun, so he drives around, goes all the way around, comes back. This time when he's driving through the drive-thru, he's taking the cane, and he's tapping on the wall as he's driving up. And then when he gets up to the window opens up, he takes his little Braille menu and he says, "I'll have a quarter pounder with cheese." You know, some of us, it's like we're blind. We're following somebody who needs assistance, and yet we're following them. The Bible says to us in Luke chapter 9, in the words of Jesus, he's teaching. You can imagine all of the people, thousands of people on the hillside, and he says to them, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit?" Then we get up and we go outside, guys, and what we do is we follow vain philosophies.
Boy, is that true. That's an excerpt from my teaching, The Intentional Man. I just can't get out of my head that story that I heard. I don't remember where I heard it, but I heard it with the... Oh, sometimes you get drivers that look like that. But, you know, we do get the blind leading the blind spiritually, unfortunately. And that's why it's so important to get back into God's Word as the foundation of this whole thing, of being the kind of dad that God intends for us to be. We're going into Father's Day. Dads, enjoy this. And I know some of you are estranged from your children. And I hope it'll be a weekend of prayer and reflection, and that there can be some good things that will come out of this weekend as we think about dads. And I just want to say thanks to all of our members, those of you who stand with us in support of the Ministry of Intentional Living. Thanks to those of you who've been a part of this matching gift program. Thank you for sharing. And by the way, every member, if you're a monthly member, you be watching for the monthly teaching. Every month, a brand new teaching from me to you to encourage you on your journey of living intentionally. And you can sign up, be a part of the family today by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. So again, thanks for being a part of the ministry. And from our Intentional Living Center, from all the dads here, myself, and Steve, and Stephen, the rest of the team, happy Father's Day.